Romans chapter 15. I want to talk to you tonight about, and we'll start reading the scripture first, and it's kind of an unusual subject. Romans 15, verse 4. Now, in verse 4, well, I'm going to start with verse 1, okay? When then, we then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. Let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification. For even Christ pleased not himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of them that reproach thee fell on me. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. Father, we ask you to bless the reading of your word, increase our faith, increase our courage, increase our strength. If there's one listening tonight that is not saved, I pray that this would be the night that they see themselves in their lost condition and run to the Savior and receive him as theirs and be born again. And for those that are fearful, God, I pray you would remove fear. Those who are doubtful, you'd remove doubt. And Lord, those who are sick, you would heal them by your power. And whatever's done, God, you know we're going to give you the glory for it. And we're going to thank you for it. And Lord, we'll pray for these that we called out tonight with the infirmities again, that you would have a special touch for them tonight. In Jesus' wonderful name, amen. In chapter 15 of Romans, verse 4, he said, for whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. Now here's my title. What the coronavirus cannot do. Or you can put cancer in there, Sister Shirley. Or you can put any sickness you want to. But what the coronavirus, since that's what's going around, that's what's got everybody scared, can't do. There's some things it can't do. Now, there's some things it can do. It can make me sick. And if it's God's will, it can kill me.
Right.
If it's God's will. It can destroy my job. It can wipe out the economy of the United States of America. It can hurt a lot of people in a lot of ways. But there are a lot of things that we learn from Scripture, just as he says here, we learn from Scripture that we, through patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope. So there's hope. There's some things it can't do to me. So I looked up some things. I got thinking about some things. What is it that it can't do to me? Now, growing up, I grew up in a rough place on the south side of Lancaster, South Carolina. If you've ever been there, you're saying amen right now. And I was a little old skinny thing. I wasn't no bigger round than a broomstick. But I was tall, so all the bullies at school always wanted to show how tough they were by beating up the tallest boy in the class. So I learned how to run real good. Thomas is sitting here. He's a marathon runner. I couldn't do it now, but back in my day, I could outrun him flat-footed. It wouldn't have been no problem at all because I learned three different ways home from school. Outrunning bullies, amen. And there were some things they could do to me, but after I learned how to run real good, they couldn't do anything to me. They couldn't catch me. And there's some things that people have done to me that's hurt me. There's some things that institutions have done to me that hurt me. But there's some things that cannot hurt me, okay? There's some ways they cannot hurt me, and there's some things, some of you are going through right now, but there's some things that whatever you're going through cannot hurt you if you're a follower and a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. Number one, John 14:16, and I'm going to read a few other verses in John 14. Most of you know this. In John 14:16, Jesus said, I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever.
Yes, sir.
Okay, now, skip over to verse 27. And peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you, let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Now, the reason he said that is because verse 26, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I've said. So when I think about what the virus or anything else can do to me, the Holy Spirit reminds me there's some things that God won't let happen.
That's right.
And that gives me comfort, and that's why he's called the Comforter. So number one, the coronavirus or anything else cannot stop the Holy Spirit in me.
Amen.
Can't do that. Cannot take the Holy Spirit away from me. No matter how sick I get, no matter how destitute I might become, no matter how poor or whatever, the Holy Ghost of God will not leave me nor forsake me, because that's God in me, and God gave me that promise that he would never leave me nor forsake me. So if I get, somebody says, well, aren't you afraid you're going to get sick with the virus? I said, well, I'm really not. Maybe I'm just delightfully ignorant. I don't know what it is, but I'm really not afraid of it. The worst it could do is kill me, and then I go to heaven. But it can't even do that without God allowing it to happen. Because, see, God lives in me. And nothing, the Holy Ghost of God, God himself lives in me. And nothing can come on this body, because it's his temple, unless the Holy Ghost of God allows it. So he cannot take that away from me, see. So, that's why we're not to fear evil. That's why we're to fear no evil, because he lives in us, and greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. And you say, well, I know preacher's getting sick. Yeah, they're getting sick, but he's not, the Holy Ghost is not sick. Their body was sick, but their spirit never gets sick, see. It's been renewed, regenerated. So the first thing I would say that the coronavirus cannot do, it cannot take the Holy Spirit from me, and he lives in me. He's my comforter. He's my guide. He's my teacher. He's my protector. And then turn to Psalm 18:12. I got a lot of scripture tonight. Psalm 18:1-2. Psalm 18:1-2, if you will. And I'll wait for you. Psalm 18:1-2. I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler and the horn of my salvation and my high tower. Oh my goodness. Now, go back the other way to Proverbs to go along with that verse. Proverbs 17:17. Now, when Jesus saved us, he said, I'm going to call you my friends. Jesus is a friend of mine. I'm a friend of his. And Proverbs 17:17 says, a friend loveth at all times. And look at this. A brother is born for adversity. He cannot, now the coronavirus, cancer, anything else cannot cripple my love for the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yes, sir.
Now, it can hurt my body. It may even hurt my mind. But love is of the heart and the spirit, because God moved in and God is love. So therefore, love lives in me. And the coronavirus cannot cripple my love for the Savior.
Amen.
He can't do that. It's an ever-ending love. It never ends. It goes on and on and on. It's an eternal love. It never ends. It will be here when the world is melted and the skies roll back like a scroll. The love of God will still be in me.
Yes,
see, the coronavirus can't do that. Now, it might take the breath out of me. And it might take the stride out of me. It might take the strength out of me. It may even hurt my mind, but it cannot hurt my heart and soul. It cannot stop me from loving the Lord Jesus Christ. The best testimony you'll ever see anybody have is be laying on their deathbed smiling and saying, I'm ready to go. See, cancer might have took their body, but it didn't take their love for Christ. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Boy, saints don't go out of here kicking and screaming and hollering and crying. Listen, we go out here praising the Lord because the love of Christ has been shed abroad in our heart. Therefore, we can't lose that. That's eternal, see. And then I got people to look at, preach at tonight. I got two people sitting up here on the front. I said that the coronavirus or any other disease or anything else cannot stop the Holy Ghost within me. I said the coronavirus cannot cripple my love. Now, it can cripple my leg, but it can't cripple my love. It can cripple my lung, but it can't cripple my love for the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I'm in a hurry because I'm getting somewhere. Philippians chapter 4. Most of you already know this. Philippians chapter 4, verse 4. Philippians chapter 4, verse 4. Okay? I'm going to go ahead and read it. Philippians chapter 4, verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 6. You already know it. Verse 6 says, 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 6. And you became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction. But wait a minute, it didn't stop there. With joy of the Holy Ghost. He can't take my joy, the Holy Ghost. He lives in me. And the coronavirus, the cancer, anything cannot take the joy that He's put deep down in my heart. We used to do children's church for years and years and years and years, me and my wife, and I'd lead them in singing. I was so pitiful singing. And, cause I didn't grow up singing these songs. And I'd sing, I've got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart. Down in my heart. Down in my heart. I've got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart. And then it goes on. I'm so happy. So very happy. I've got the love of Jesus in my heart. I'm so happy. So and boy, the kids just get all excited about that because they like joy. They like happy. Amen. Well, I'm kind of a kid that way myself. I like joy. I like happy. I don't like being around old sourpuss Baptists and complainers and whiners and criers and all that stuff. And let me tell you something. That's what people that are worried about the coronavirus, they're just worried to death that it's going to steal everything they got. Well, let me give you some good news, Christian. He can't steal your joy.
Yes.
It's down in your heart. And God gave you that. And nobody can take what God gives you.
Amen.
And then, and I talked about this morning, you don't have to turn there. We talked about this morning, John 14:27. We were just there. But I've got the peace of God. I've got the peace of God. He said, I'm going to leave you peace. Now, if you've got a troubled heart, there could be several reasons. Number one, it could be you don't know Him. Or it could be you know Him, but you've wandered away from Him. Or it could be you just doubt God. And all of those are sin, every one of them. So what you do, you confess that, He'll give you peace back, and you won't worry about dying of the coronavirus or cancer or whatever might be coming down the line next year. You'll have the peace of God in your heart that no matter whatever happens, you know you're going to be all right.
Amen. Prince of Peace.
My mama, after she hit 90, I don't even remember, 95, I think it was, we had to put 97, we had to put her in a nursing home. And once every week, every Friday, I'd go and I'd get her and I'd take her wheelchair and I'd take her outside. And they had a sidewalk most of the way around, and then there was a street behind it. But there was all kind of bushes and trees, and every Friday we'd go, and she had dementia, so I was trying to keep her mind working, you know. And I'd stop and I'd take the tree would be right there beside the sidewalk. I'd take a limb, I'd pull it down in front of her. I'd say, Mama, what kind of bush is that? And at first she could tell me what kind of bush it was. But as time went on, she couldn't tell. She said, that's a, and she couldn't tell me unless I knew what it was and I'd tell her. And she said, that's right. And then we'd go on around, you know, and there were several magnolia trees, beautiful magnolia trees. And I'd pull a limb down where she could see the flower, you know. I said, Mom, what kind of tree is that? She said, oh, that's a magnolia tree. Beautiful, beautiful. And then I'd go on and, there was a persimmon tree back there. Every Friday we'd talk about that. We'd watch them from a bloom to a from a blossom to a ripe persimmon. I'd pick her one off and peel it, you know, and they're tasted, you know, we laugh about it. And then there was a wild cherry tree. We'd pick us a little wild cherry, you know, and we'd talk about that. And as time went on, dementia robbed those things from her. She couldn't remember. It just robbed her. So I kind of felt bad about that, but you know something you never could rob her from? Every time when I'd go down there and I'd be pushing her, I'd start singing hymns to her. And she'd wake right up and start singing with me.
Wow.
She never forgot those psalms. Never did. Now she forgot a lot of stuff. She never forgot me. She forgot a lot of people, but she didn't forget me and my wife and my daughters because we'd go see her. And same way, Suzanne would come up from Georgia. My daughter from Georgia, and she'd come visit her and Olivia, and Suzanne get on that piano in there in that nursing home cafeteria and start playing it. Man, my mama would light up, and she'd start singing with us. She'd start singing those hymns with us. Now, that was the peace of God in her.
Yep.
Now, that dementia, that disease robbed her of a lot of things. It robbed her of the ability to walk. It robbed her of the ability eventually to swallow like she should. It robbed her of a lot of her memories. But if one thing it couldn't rob her of is the peace of God. She had that peace. She talked to me. If you want to talk about Jesus, she was glad to do it. She didn't forget him. She didn't forget him. And when she laid down that last 2 days, when she laid down to bed and just quietly slipped off to glory, there was no kicking and screaming and hollering and all that. She had the peace of God. She had the peace of God. Now, I don't care what you get, nothing can rob you of that peace except sin.
That's right.
That's the only thing can rob you of that. Now, we get sin in our life, we'll start worrying about every little old thing and we'll start doubting God. But you see, the Holy Spirit lives in me and the love of God lives in me and the joy of the Lord's in me and I've got the peace of God and all the devils in hell and all diseases on planet Earth cannot rob me of these things. They can take my walking ability. They can take my talking ability. They can take my thinking ability. They might take a whole lot of things from my body, but my heart and soul, they cannot touch that. Doesn't matter who you are. Amen. Amen. Sister Shirley, you keep on keeping on. You're doing good. You keep the peace of God. You other folks that's suffering with infirmities, just keep the peace of God. Let these things do whatever they want to. God's going to take care of you. You keep that peace. You keep that peace. And then not only that, I want you to turn to Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. I'm preaching fast tonight. My wife ought to be proud of me. Philippians chapter 3. She's about the only one here to critic my preaching, so she's always telling me how good I'm doing. Philippians chapter 3. Let me tell you something. People are running around now I know some people are just plain ignorant. They don't worry about diseases or nothing. They live, I guess I say, willy-nilly, you know. I'm not one of those people. I do wash my hands. I do take care of myself. I'm in pretty good shape for the shape I'm in. I'm pretty good for a 66-year-old guy. But I am careful. I'm careful that I don't get diseases. And I know some people throw it out there and say, well, if God wants you to get sick, you'll get sick. Yeah, if you want to be ignorant, you can get sick too.
Yeah.
That'd be your fault, not God's fault. And so there's some people living that way. I'm not that way. I wash my hands. I go to these stores and stuff. I don't hang around. I don't hang around people. I come home. As soon as I get in the car, I got some sanitizer. I'll just wash my hands in them sanitizer, you know. And I'll go home and I'll wash my hands. I've got a short sleeve shirt. And I'll wash my face, you know. Look, there ain't nothing wrong with that. But I'm not depending on soap and water to take care of me. I'm depending on God to take care of me. But he gave me enough sense. He gave me enough sense to be to do good hygiene. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. I keep my finger out of my nose and my eye, and I try to wash my hands and take care of myself. So there's some things the coronavirus could do if I didn't do that. But there's some things it can't do. It can't stop the Holy Spirit in me. It can't cripple my love for Christ. It can't steal my joy. It cannot take my peace. And then look at this, Philippians 3. Look at verse 20 and 21. For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Woo! Who shall change our vile body. Wouldn't get sick if it wasn't vile. Sin, curse, vile yeah. body. That it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. Boy, now I want you to look at that verse 20 again. For our conversation, now this is King James English. Well, it's not his English, it's old English. And but that word conversation in the old English means more than it does what we mean now. We mean the way you talk. Well, conversation means everything. Your lifestyle, your talk, and your walk, because your walk is really a talk anyway.
Yep.
So it means our life, the way we live, is in heaven. As far as God's concerned, we're already in heaven.
That's right.
Yeah. Ephesians 2, I think it was, or is it Ephesians 1? Ephesians 2, it says this. He says, ye have he seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. As far as he's concerned, I'm already sitting in heaven. It's finished. The work's done.
Yes.
Transactions made.
Yes.
I'm just waiting for the delivery boy to come get me and take me home.
Yeah.
Amen. 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 Now, that's my hope. That's my hope. That's my that's my blessed hope. That's my best hope. That's my great hope. That's my final hope. That I will one day be with Christ and I will be like him. And he'll take this old vile body that we struggle with sickness and sin every day. You're not just battling sickness, you're battling sin too every day. And we battle that every day, and we're in a battle, and we're in a war. Ain't time to sit down now, but I'm going to win. The Holy Spirit lives in me. The love of Christ is in here. The joy of God is in here. The peace of God's in here. And I've got the hope that God will do what he said he'll do, which he'll come get me and change me.
Amen.
One day he's going to change me. And not only me, but all believers. And not only those living, but those who's already gone before. He's going to change us. Who will, verse 21, who will change our vile body. God knows what this thing's made out of. It's vile. And the reason it's vile is because sin is on it. And we run around avoiding people because we're afraid they might have the coronavirus. And to us, that's a vile thing. That sickness is a vile thing. But what we ought to be running around and trying to avoid is people with sin on them.
Wow.
That's a vile thing. Amen.
Amen.
We'll avoid sin like we do the plague. We'll avoid sin like we do the coronavirus. Amen.
Right.
We'll stay clean and holy and washed in the Holy Ghost. Washed in the Word, he says.
Yes.
And walking in the Word. That's why, that's our conversation. How we walk, how we talk, how we behave. That's our conversation. And thank God one day, in spite of all our failures because of this vile body and because of all the sin and the sicknesses because of this vile body, we have the hope that he'll take us home and we'll be transformed to be just like him, pure and undefiled. Amen. That it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. I don't know about you, but I can't wait to see him. And the Bible says when we see him, we'll be like him. Go back and read 1 Corinthians chapter 15. He's going to take this corruptible and make it incorruptible. Now, when he's talking about corruptible, he's talking about death and the grave. And he's going to take this mortal and make it into immortal. Mortal means there's a time limit on it.
Yep.
It's appointed unto man once died. There's a time limit on this. But thank God one day he's going to give me an immortal body just like his. In his fashion, it says that. So go ahead and talk about me all you want to. Jesus is looking at me saying, you just hang in there, boy. I'm going to make you look just like me one day. Immortal, invincible, powerful, and you'll look just like me. And look, No disease can take that hope from me. Matter of fact, if you get a disease, that hope will probably increase as you get closer to the grave.
Wow.
I was a young Christian. I hadn't been saved probably a year or two, and I went to Eastside Baptist Church. Pastor Hubert Falkenberry, we called him Bully. And the men would have a prayer room, wasn't many, just four or five men getting a little Sunday school room, pray before every service. And he didn't always come in there, but he came in there that day and we were giving prayer requests. And, I told him, everybody in there, I said, won't you pray for me? God spared my life this week. And they said, well, how do you do that? I said, well, I worked at the nuclear plant building. We were building it and I had to climb up one of those I-beams 40 feet. And I had to do it. You just held on to one side of it. You put your feet on the other side of it. And you shimmied up it. Only a 146-pound boy could do that. And got up there to the top. And my feet slipped out from under me. And this is truth. I was holding on with my bare hands praying. And I looked down there and there's two rebars sticking up out of that cement. And I thought, well, if I let go, that's where I'm going to hit. And they're going to be, I could see them sticking up through my body, you know. And I prayed, the Lord gave me strength, and the place I was trying to get into, we called them, I forgot what we called them, but anyway, they were like aluminum ladders. We pulled electrical cable and laid them in. And I got my arm up in there, and somehow, by the grace of God, little old skinny boy pulled himself up over in there, and I laid down, and I was so weak, I couldn't even move my arms anymore. And I told that story to him, and my pastor looked at me, he said, were you scared? I said, I was scared to death. He said, you're scared to die. I said, I was scared I was going to die. I could see that rebar sticking through me, a dead man. He said, then you wasn't going to die. What? He said, no, you wasn't going to die. He said, God give you grace to be saved by. God gives you grace to live by. And when you get ready to die, God will give you grace to die by. You won't be scared. Amen.
That's true.
And see, that's our hope. And the devil or coronavirus or nobody else can take that away from us. We've got that hope. We're going to be made just like him. And I'd rather be like him than be like me any day.
Yes.
Amen. Yeah. I'm a failure, man. I tell you what. Now turn to Romans chapter 8, verse 18. Well, I preach a lot faster when we ain't got all these people in here interrupting me, don't I? I'm teasing. You stay right there. Romans chapter 8, verse 18. I can't wait that first service while we're singing. Danny will probably run the aisles and dive into baptistry. Amen. Romans chapter 8. Look at verse 18, if you will. I said there's some things that the coronavirus cannot do. It cannot stop the Holy Spirit in me. It cannot cripple my love for Christ or his for me. It cannot steal my joy. It cannot steal my peace. It cannot steal my hope. And then last, I want you to notice in Romans chapter 8, verse 18. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. My goodness, did you know the coronavirus cannot defeat me no matter how much I suffer? He said, we reckon. Now, for you northern folks that don't know southern English, we speak correct English. We speak reckon. Reckon means I don't think, I don't believe I can figure it out. I don't reckon, I know. So let's look at it again. He says, I don't think I can figure it out. I believe this is where it's going to happen, but I'm not sure. But I reckon, no, well, he's sure. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. He said, I'm thinking rightly about this. I'm thinking about this. I believe it goes this way. This is the way it goes. I reckon. Now, I reckon if you don't put gas in your car, it runs out and you don't go. I reckon if you put oil in your oil tank, your gas tank, it ain't going to go. I reckon if you have a flat tire, you can't drive on it. Those are things that I reckon. I believe it's so. Not necessarily that I've ever experienced it. Well, I have, but most of you, a lot of you haven't. But I reckon this is what's going to happen. This is where it's going to be, okay? Here it is. Our sufferings cannot be compared to the glory that we'll receive when we get to heaven. It hadn't even been revealed to us. We have no idea. It has not been revealed. But one day, we'll see it. Now, He can't defeat me because I know I'm a winner. I'm a winner if I live. I'm a winner if I'm sick. I'm a winner if I'm well. I'm a winner if I'm rich. I'm a winner if I'm poor. I'm a winner if they shut the plant down. I'm a winner if other people around me get sick and then I get sick. I'm still a winner. I'm a winner if I die because I don't know exactly how it's going to be, but I know one day He'll reveal to me the glory that He's going to put on me when I get up there with Him. Well, how do you know that, preacher? Listen, there it is. There ain't no guessing about this. So, preacher, I'm scared of getting coronavirus. What am I going to do? Well, I can't tell you everything to do, but I can tell you some things you ought to do. You ought to read your Bible. You ought to pray. You ought to have a right relationship with God. You ought to confess your sins. You ought to get right with God. You ought to try to love Him and serve Him. And then you ought to realize there's some things that the coronavirus cannot do. And the worst thing it can do, if He allows it, is you die. And you're going to die sooner or later anyway. And you're still a winner if you die because His glory will finally be revealed to you that you've always wanted to see. I've never seen Him with these eyes. I wanted to. I've tried to imagine it. I've been by myself before praying and just think, what would God look like if I was at His feet right now? If I was here at this altar, I'd be on the altar and I'm going to try to imagine Him sitting up here in front of me and I can't do it. I can't do it. The glory's too great. I can't do it. And I might get a little glimpse of Him. I might get a little glimpse of His presence and His glory when I read the book. So you know what I'm going to do? I'm not going with the latest poll. I'm not going with the latest Dr. Doolittle's predictions. I'm not going with the latest preacher's woes and all this stuff. I'm just going to go by what the Bible says.
Amen.
And I'm going to trust Him. And I'm going to trust the Holy Spirit in me. And I'm going to love Him like He loves me. And I'm going to have the joy of the Lord. You ain't going to steal it. And you're not going to take my peace. And I ain't giving it up. I'm not giving it up. Listen, and you're not taking my hope. You can't take my hope. Right. It's in me. And you can't take it away from me. So go ahead. Go ahead, world. Go ahead, sickness. Go ahead, storm. Go ahead, trial. Do whatever you got to do. But I know this. Greater is He that's in me than he that's in you. And I'm a winner and I cannot lose. And I'm not worried about dying because that's the worst thing that can happen to me. And I'm going to heaven.
Amen.
So you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to live my life.
Yep.
I'm going to walk like a believer. I'm going to talk like a believer. I'm going to dress like a believer. I'm going to behave like a believer. I'm not getting in that dark cloud you're putting up. I'm going to hang over here in the silver lining called the Word of God. And you do whatever you want to. Do whatever you want to. But He can't defeat me. Amen. Now let me ask you something. What are you basing your faith on? What are you trusting? Who are you trusting? Where do you turn? Where do you turn? Where do you turn when corona attacks? You run over here to the hospital, they can't help you. They'll shoot you a couple shots in you and put a mask on you, throw a tube down your throat to help you breathe, and then some Christian's going to have to be praying for you for a miracle to come out of there. Who are you going to trust? I'm going to trust Jesus.
Yes.
He's never let me down before.
Amen. Never.
I'm not saying I've never been sick. I've been sick. But He went through with me through the sickness. And I've never died, but if I ever do, He'll go with me through the death too. There's some things this, look, we need to get back to God. We need to get back to living for God, trusting God, looking to God, and just pray this stuff will pass on and people will come back to the right mind. Or better yet, why don't we pray that they'll see that they don't have peace, they don't have love, they don't have joy, they don't have a hope, and they'll turn to Jesus Christ. And could that be the reason God put you right where you are right now? If you're not saved tonight, you're scared to death you're going to die because you know you're not going to heaven. Oh, you're hoping, but you know deep down in your heart you're not going to heaven.
Wow.
You need to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. Admit you're a sinner. Turn to Jesus Christ. You don't have to understand it all. All you got to do is ask Him.
Yep.
He'll give you the faith. He'll give you the understanding. Right now, you just need to understand you're a hopeless, helpless, hell-bound sinner, and you need a Savior. Turn to Him and look and live. And He'll save you if you'll ask Him.
Sure.
And not only will He save you, He'll keep you, and He'll take care of you. Now, I'm going to pray. And while I pray, I want you to pray with me if you're not saved. Piano player's coming over here, and just in a minute, when I get through praying, she's going to play. And we're going to give you time to, if you have a phone, computer that you can send a message on, you can put it on this page where you're watching in the comments. I want you to, if you prayed with me, I just want you to type in there, I prayed with you. That's all I want to know. That's all I want to know. If you rededicate your life tonight, maybe you're a Christian, you've lost your joy, you lost your peace, you wandered away from your hope, you can come back. All you have to do is confess your sins. That's all you got to do. Turn from Him and confess them, and He's just to forgive you. He said He would. And if you're a saint word tonight, ask God to give you peace. Ask God to give you peace. Father, bless the invitation, and we'll thank You for whatever you do in Jesus' name. Amen. Go ahead, sis. Sister Shirley, we're praying for you. You keep that hope. Keep that joy, that peace, that
love.
Love. We love you, sis. We're praying for you. If you need us, let me know, okay? If you need anything, let us know. Thank you all for watching. Now, I'm going to work on something for Wednesday night. I want you to watch Wednesday night at 7. I believe it's going to be kind of prophecy-type sermon. I believe that our president has messed up the one world government, and there's a lot of people mad over it. They were rushing headlong into it, and the Lord's put a pause on it through him. And I won't talk about that Wednesday night, okay? But Jesus is coming. We're closer than we ever been. So you come back Wednesday night, and we'll talk about that. We're going to pray, and then we're going to go home. Amen. Amen. And let's pray. Father, we do thank you for you. God, you're so good to us. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. The gifts that you pour out on us, unspeakable and full of glory. Lord, you save us. You've been so good to us, Lord. How could we not love you? Oh, God, not only did you live for us, you died for us and rose from the dead. And now you sit on the right hand of the Father, interceding for us, our advocate, our lawyer. And Lord, how could we ever repay you? We can't. All we can do is love you back.
Right.
And by loving you back means we try to obey you and we try to do right. And when we don't, we confess up, ask you to forgive us. And Lord, thank you for these folks that came tonight. I pray you'd bless them. What a blessing to have people that love you enough to drive that far and to serve you. And then Lord, for those that were watching tonight, there might be one that didn't say they prayed, but they did. And I pray for that one. Lord, I pray for that one that's near as hell. You'd rescue them before it's too late. And then those who are sick, Lord, have mercy on them. But especially Sister Shirley, as she goes to the doctor, Lord. Oh, God, would you not touch her, Lord? Touch her. Give her strength. Give her help. Give her hope. Heal her if you will. Heal her if you will, Lord. But if not, give her grace and courage and strength. Help her family as they try to minister to her. And God, she's such a blessing to us. Help us to be a blessing to her and others out there who are suffering. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Same channel, Wednesday night.
And tomorrow morning at
10. Tomorrow morning at 10. I forgot about that. What is this, though? Turtle?
Well,
horses and deer and bears.
And y'all, that matter. Y'all get something that... Okay.